my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
I'm going to do a little bit more teaching today than preaching. Knowing me, it might switch a little bit, but when I get in teacher mode, I still want you, if you hear something that resonates or touches, still shout your brother down, okay? I love when church is alive and happening, right? We don't just shout it down when we're singing in worship, but I want you to talk to me. I'll preach to you. Come on, it'll be back and forth. Let's practice a little bit. Let me hear you say, go ahead, brother. All right, you can use that one at any time. You can say, preach that. You can throw it old school and say, hallelujah. You can amen it. It doesn't really matter. Just, I love when, if it touches home, just shout it down. You're safe to do that here. It's welcomed. And in this series, we've been gaining some traction. This is the third week of a series we've been calling, What's Next? And God tells us that there is a pathway to life. In fact, in the psalmist said this, that you have a pathway to life, Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the way of life, granting me joy. Everyone say joy. Joy. Even you at home. And everyone say joy of your presence. And everyone say pleasures. And the pleasures of living with you forever. I want to submit to you, if you're not experiencing the joy and the pleasures that come with walking with God, you may have settled for religion. I spent a lot of my time, my childhood, going to church, and I had religion, but there was no joy in it. There was no pleasure when mama said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. But you know what? I got this really cool text last week from my man Jeff over here, and he said, Sundays have become my favorite day of the week. Cannot wait to get back in church. Come on. We should be excited when we come to the house of the Lord. And if there's no joy and there's no pleasure in it, then don't settle for religion. God doesn't want you to have religion. He wants you to have a relationship. And the closer you get in relationship, the more it becomes the joy of the Lord, which becomes my strength. I like to wear that every single day. And so we talked in week one about Exodus 6 that describes four different destinations that we should have on the pathway to life. God speaks about it numerous times throughout the Bible, but we'll just summarize them this way. Number one, God wants you to know God. Every human being wants to know God, and we have sought to be in relationship with Him, even those who push back. And I want to encourage you, if you know somebody who's far from God, next week is the best week to invite them to church. Try to get them to come to an in-person experience if they can. I'm going to make the message as clear as possible, the good news of Jesus Christ and what He did for each and every one of us. And if it is, if they're uncomfortable coming in person, then have them join us on our live streams or share the sermon with them, share the feed or the podcast after the fact when you get home and just tag their name in it. Would you do that for me? Would you pray about who God in your family, coworkers, friends, people who are far from God, they need to know God. God longs for that. Today I'm going to talk about the second one, which is finding freedom. I believe God's about to free some people up in here. The third one is discovering your purpose. I talked about that last week. Every single one of us are breathing air on purpose. There are no accidents up in here, and there are no accidents in your family or workplace, even though you think your crazy uncle, he was definitely an accident, but everyone else, you know, come on. God's got a purpose. And then finally, and I talked about that last week, and then finally, we all have a desire to make a difference. In fact, how do we know if we succeeded in life? Is it he who has the who dies with the most money wins? Is it he who has the most friends wins? No, it's none of that. It is every one of us has a shared interest in our heart to leave a legacy, to know I made an impact. I was talking to one of our dream teamers this morning, and he was telling me that earlier this week in their small group, God was using him, his wife, and the people in that small group to make a difference because there was one person who gave their life to Jesus Christ this past week in small group. Come on, there's no greater feeling than to know somebody who was destined for hell is headed to heaven, and God used me to make a difference. That's what gets me up in the morning. And no matter what job or occupation or family God's put you in, you are called to make a difference. And so I did that on week one. I have purposely preached this series with the end in mind, because everyone's on the journey somewhere. You're somewhere on this journey, whether you don't yet know God, whether you've known Him, but you haven't done much with Him in a little bit or not. You can take your next steps with God. In fact, Proverbs 29:18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, if they don't really have a clear path, or if they're aimless about it — this has been our core scripture throughout it, this series — they just stumble all over themselves. And a lot of times it's not even their own fault. They're just lost in the place they are, or they've been there so long their legs have forgot what it's like to move in the presence of God and be on a journey with Him. But when they attend to what God reveals to them, they are most blessed. Come on, church, say most blessed.
Most blessed.
That means they are content no matter what the world throws at them. Whether the world throws the worst or whether the world throws the best, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding, because I am in a relationship with God. And as I was thinking about this proverb, for the one who doesn't know which path to take, they wander aimlessly. It reminded me — I had a picture of this right here. They're going to put it up on the screen. Someone being in the middle of a fork in the road. You've been at this place metaphorically many times before. Do I go to college? Do I go into workplace? Do I say yes to his proposal? Do I not? Do I go out with him or not? Do I take the job or not? Do I move or not? Do we have another kid or not? And we have a lot of forks in the road. And when we do not know what to do, I think three things can happen to us. Number one, we could just stand there and get stuck. Just kind of, well, I don't know which way to go, so I just stand here. You know, I'm from Louisiana, and we didn't have corn mazes in the autumn season, but we're in autumn Eastern Shore now, right? And so what does that mean? There's going to be some corn mazes coming up soon, and my wife and I will take the daughters to a corn maze, and some of them like to do this cute agricultural trivia. Like, I went to the corn maze to learn a little bit about how many species of corn there are. If there's 99 species of corn, go right. If there's 9, go left. I'm like, I don't know. It's just good when you steam it. I mean, little salt and pepper, some butter. I'm happy, you know? And so there's a part of me that just wants to stand there and I don't know how many species of corn. Why don't you tell me? And so you can stay stuck at the question, is stagnant in your own place. And I think many people have done this spiritually, just kind of like, well, I don't know what's next. And so I didn't even realize, I just kind of staggered to a halt and a pause. Or you can slam right into it. If she were to go straight, this lady at worst would be walking in the weeds. Come on, anybody know some people been walking in the weeds lately in life? At worst, imagine this: that you are a car, that lady's a car, and that's a tree right there. And if you don't make a decision and choose a path, they just slam right into things and break things, and life crashes on them. Some people have done this because they don't know the pathway to life. And then the third thing you could do: you could be stuck, you could slam into dead ends, or you could pick one and just second guess yourself the whole time. I think people have done this before. I think this is the right way. I know before I met Jesus, I said a little bit of religion, a few relationships around people, and this job, and I've just picked a path, and I think this is right. But you just kind of second guess the whole way. Jesus said this: anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is unfit for the kingdom of God. I looked up that word unfit, and in the Greek, that word unfit means this: is not useful. Anyone who just picks a random path and always second guessing, always questioning, right? They're not very useful. God wants to actually illuminate your path to freedom, and this series is designed to help you see what's next. In fact, Psalm says this, one of my favorite scriptures: Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Imagine if all the lights in this place were out right now, and I knew that I had three different directions that I go. I could go, and I don't know which path to take. I don't know which one's right. Oh, instead of being stuck, instead of slamming into dead ends, instead of picking one and second-guessing every step of the way, Scripture says that His Word is a lamp. Choose this way and walk in it. Come on. This is what God wants to do. He wants to bring some clarity. He wants to give some direction. He wants you to find freedom walking in the pathway of life. I believe if you do, you'll be able to leave yesterday behind, have peace in the present, that I know I'm walking in the path He's got for me. And I believe that you're actually going to find freedom in your future when you know that you're walking in the light. In fact, that's what another scripture says in 1 John 1:7, which confirms it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, come on, throw back to DC talk. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. And some of y'all are going, I know that one, but I'm not admitting I know that one, right? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we can have fellowship with one another. Look at that. In other words, if I walk in the light, I'm actually going to get freedom from my past, that I'm not a burden to the people around me. I'm not a weight to my family. I'm not dragging others around me down like, oh, here she comes. Oh, here he comes. Debbie Downer's coming up, right? Because you have not yet found the pathway to light. But if I walk in the light as I know He's in the light, then I can have freedom, fellowship with one another, and then check this out. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Put that one back up there. And the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Say purifies. Come on, let me ask you a rhetorical question. What happens to dirty water when it gets purified? What happens to the dirt? What happens to your hands when you add a little bit of Purell to them? Come on. What happens to the bacteria or the virus or the dirt? See, when something gets purified, it gets cleaned up. It gets sanitized. It gets healed up. And the Bible says that if you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus can purify your heart of all sins. That is good news, guys. That is good news. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the blood of Jesus. It doesn't have to be Easter morning to tell you about the deliverance His blood has paid for you every single morning. I don't have to wait till the pastel colors come out and the bunny rabbits come out to tell you about the greatest news in life, and that is Jesus and what He did for you and I on the cross. It is by His blood that purifies us of all sins. So this morning I want to talk to you about that very blood. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the message of the cross, oh, Pastor Drew, save that for Easter. Come on, I'll be back for Easter, right? The message of the cross, it gets a little gruesome to some. It might sound foolishness to others, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God, freeing them of their past and delivering them into the fullness of life. It's about the cross that we've got to find it. God is offering us power through the cross for your future to be free of bondage. Just, there is no bondage. Come on, save that for them, right? You know, save that for them. Where's Shelton and Erica when I need them? Come on, help a brother out. Listen, you want to find no bondage? You're not going to find it apart from the cross. Many have gotten addicted to substances, have been addicted to relationships. You're in one to fulfill some voids in your life. Addicted to late night ice cream. All addicted to binging TV, all to try to deal with some bondages that just keep nagging me. They're in my past, and I just can't deal with it. But the Bible says, oh, the cross. It is the freedom you're looking for. It is the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12 says this, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has have been thrown down to earth. That word accuser means Satan himself, who once had a place in heaven, has now been cast down out of his place. No more responsibility in heaven. No more authority in heaven. He has been cast down to earth among us. And that tells me two things. Number one, he has lost. He has lost, and he doesn't like you and I to remind him of that. Oh, he has some significant cunning powers on that he uses, deceptions and counterfeits like I shared last week. But the end of the story tells this: you have lost. You are no longer on high. You have been dethroned. You have lost all authority. You have lost all position. And see, Satan has come and told many of you just how much you have lost. But I want you to remember this. When Satan comes and reminds you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. Come on, you tell him, you've been thrown down once and you ain't even done yet. You're about to be cast even further down. So yeah, I got habits, I've got hang-ups, I got screw-ups, but I remember when I released him at the cross to Jesus Christ. He is now my Lord, take it up with him. Oh, what happened last time you took it up with him? Oh, sorry. Hate to remind you, you lost. You lost. He's still an accuser. He still does that. But listen, you start picking on one of my girls right now, I am our girls' Lord right now. You come take it up with Daddy. You come pick on somebody who's much bigger than your own size, right? Satan doesn't want to take it up with heaven anymore. He's already been humiliated once. And so he works in the shadows. He works in the dark because he knows not to be in the light as he is in the light. Come on, we need the light of Jesus Christ. And scripture says for that accuser, he's number one, lost, but it also tells me that he's roaming around earth, still attacking, still accusing. His domain is our current domain. It means you are going to be subject to attacks and accusations. And I've just equipped you with the best thing you can do is remind him about his future. Remind them who's your Lord and remind them who's your future. And if you have not let Jesus become your Lord and Savior, I'll give you an opportunity later in this message. But if you have not and you're the Lord, game on. He's cunning. He's smart. He will even try to deceive the elect, Scripture says. But it says this, all of those have defeated him. How? By the blood. Come on. Not by effort, not by religion, not by mental toughness. Come on. That's a big one in athletic circles. I was watching an athletic documentary, and the coach just wants to tell the elite players, you must have mental toughness. Come on. Mental toughness ain't going to do jack against the enemy. Right? You have got to be equipped with the blood. It's not by degrees. It's not by wit. It's not by scheming. It's not by education. And it's not by your payroll. It is only by the blood. And there is no getting around that. You do not have enough wit to outwit him. Oh, but the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, by the blood of the Lamb, and once you get a revelation of that, the Lord gives you a testimony that gives you the power to remind him. Oh, I remember what you're saying, devil, but you remember August 14th, 2002, Gonzales, Louisiana. This brother right here at approximately 8:27 p.m. gave my life to Jesus Christ. You remember that day? He's my daddy now. Take it up with him. He's my Lord. Take it up with him. By your testimony, but it starts with the blood. Isaiah 53:5 says, for Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace. You see that right there? You can have peace. You can have freedom from your yesterdays. God paid the price for you to have peace, so you might as well get it too. It says, for the punishment that brought us peace was on him. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all get excited when you hear somebody else eating with you say, the bill is on me? Come on. How many of y'all get excited when you find out that dessert is on me? How many of y'all get excited when your parents say vacation is on me? Come on. Let's go. Come on. How many college students get excited when you hear the gas bill is on me? Oh, come on, baby. Fuel up the car. How many get excited when you find out the piece has been paid and God said, it's on me? It's on me. I've already paid for it. I've already covered it. Might as well partake in it. Receive it. Who gets a free tank of gas and says, I'm just going to park the car. I'm just going to leave it. God wants you to live and live abundant life. So it goes on to say this, that by his wounds we are healed. I want to share with you for the remainder of my time, four wounds Jesus received on his way to the cross to buy you and I peace and freedom in our lives as well. Scripture says this, that as Jesus was arrested in the garden, he was tried 6 times illegally over the course of the next few hours. They tried him at night, which was illegal, and he was never allowed to be tried at night because everybody, even then, should have a fair trial in the light. But notice how Satan works. He likes to work in the shadows, in the dark rooms. And so he was taken into a dark place, or in the middle of the night, they tried to try him. And eventually, he was sentenced to punishment by the cat of nine tails. Now, the cat of nine tails was a whip. And it wasn't a whip like we think about with one long strand. It was a cat of nine tails. In other words, there were nine strands on that whip that when they swung it around, it would hit them 9 times. And all those strands had pieces of sharp objects, glass, stone, rocks that were interlaced in that every single tail so that when someone was whipped with it, they would catch their skin, dig deep, and then be ripped out and rip the skin. Roman policy said this, no one can be suffered the cat of nine tails more than 39 lashes, for 40 would kill anyone. Jesus didn't just receive 39 lashes, but think about nine tails hitting him times 39 times. By his wounds we are healed. It ripped his body apart. It ripped his chest apart. And so here's the first wound he received for us. Number one, the whip, which is a picture of freedom in our body too. Jesus, by his stripes, every single one of them, says that our body too can be healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins where? In his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. His body was punished so that you could have freedom in your body. Come on, I am here to tell you this morning, heaven has not closed shops. People are still being healed today. The miracle of healing is not done. We are still actively seeing it in our midst. Come on, I shared earlier about someone giving their life to the Lord, but let me tell you about this. We've had people in our team have codependencies on drugs and their body needed it and they are free from that now. Things of alcohol. One of our students in our college was addicted, they even said to smoking and cigarettes, and that caffeine addiction has been cast out for over 2 months now. Come on. Your body can be healed. I'm not done talking about small miracles. We have two people in our church, two sisters. They reached out to my wife and I about 2 months ago and they said, our dad just got a terrible diagnosis. He was diagnosed with cancer. It's really aggressive. It's really bad. Could you come and pray? And my wife and I came and we prayed and we put our faith behind it. Those sisters put their faith behind it. The family put their faith behind it. He doesn't necessarily totally subscribe to everything about healing, but he was willing to receive any kind of prayer. Guess what? This past week, the sisters reached out to us and said, his type of cancer, the tumor, does not typically shrink. Guess what our Lord has already done? They got a report back this week. It has shrunk, and they're believing it's going to continue shrinking. We have told the story before. My wife and I suffered infertility for 6 years. I don't know if it was my body. I don't know if it was her body. But something wasn't working in that area. We had a specialist tell us, you have a 0.01% chance of having a kid without me. I am basically your God. And we said, you are not our God. For our God can do the impossible he makes possible. And so if he wants to show off, he can show off. 2 years later, my wife surprises me to tell us our bodies have been healed because there's a baby inside that we are going to have again. Come on, somebody testify.
Yeah.
Just ask and you shall be given to you. Listen, I don't know. There have been times I've asked and it's not worked, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep asking. God is still in the business of healing. I will still choose to trust and believe for freedom in our body every single time. Don't you dare let Satan tell you that doesn't happen anymore. That's for the history books. No, it's not. He wants you to believe that because he's scared. Jesus paid the stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. Number two, it says after this, they did something that was abnormal for the execution process. It says that they took Jesus into the Roman Praetorium, where you got to understand, these executioners are used to executing numerous people a day. They have probably become numb to the idea of blood and killing people. It must have been one of the worst occupations to have. If they were sick about killing people, they probably were over it after a week at best of executing people. Yet when Jesus arrives, they call all their boys in. Hey, y'all come, y'all come, y'all come, y'all come. There's Jesus. He claims to be somebody. And they begin to mock him. And scripture says that they take a crown of thorns and they smash it onto his head. And so number two is this, the thorns, which is freedom for our mind. Jesus did not push back. He did not say, yo, did y'all do this? To the other two strangers, the real criminals you're about to execute with me on the cross, you do know he hung with two other people, right? Did Jesus go, hey, if you're not doing it to them, this is unfair, this is unjust? No, Jesus said, bring it on because I want to offer freedom for your mind as well. My mind was pierced. His skull was crushed. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you, for I do not give you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. When your mind gets unraveled and begins to become afraid, you've got to remember Jesus accepted the crown of thorns on his head so that I could have the peace that surpasses all understanding flood over my thoughts, worries, and anxieties. I've got a God who cares, and already his wound has paid the price. Joel 2:32 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I looked up that word in the Hebrew, the original language. That word means this: whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall escape. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be released. Come on, you've been looking to the bottle for escape. You've been looking to the ice cream for escape. You've been looking to a boy for escape. You've got to realize you need not look any further than the crown Jesus allowed on his head on the way to the cross, because anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be released. Oh, the heaviness of work. Oh, the heaviness of relationships. This marriage is so hard. I've been given release by Jesus Christ in the blood. We got to remember Isaiah 26:3 says this: you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. For that person trusts in you. This means that those who have been locked up in their minds with rejection for years and years, those who are suffering pride issues, those who are dealing with pornography, you've got images in your mind and calling you to it, you can be healed. You can find freedom because Jesus allowed his mind to be pierced so that your mind, which has been attacked, can have peace. Number three, when they brought him to the cross, the Bible says that when they hung him there, they they drove nails into his hands and into his legs. And yes, I know that history tells us the nails would have gone closer to the forearms, because if you put it right here, the weight of the body would have ripped right through his hands. So they put it right here in between the two bones here so that he would not slip off. And but even the Romans knew that when they shook hands, the whole arm was like a hand to them. That's why Romans, when they shook hands, they didn't just do handshakes. They would do one of these. And so I want you to see that number three, the nails were a wound that paid the price for your freedom in your hands. Your hands represent everything you've done. Your legs represent everywhere you've gone. And many of us have touched things, done things, gone places we have no business going. And boy, does Satan like to remind us of that. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus allowed the nails in his hands so that he was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. My mistakes can be free. And so when he reminds me of what I've done and what I've touched and where I've gone, I remind him of the nails that already paid the price. It's been paid in full. I'm gassed up. I'm full. He's paid the price. Scripture says this, Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember it against them no more." That means abuse, shame, purity. Come on, I saw this earlier this week that narcissism has doubled in America over the last few years, but I also discovered that often the underlying root of narcissism is this, shame. I've got a lot of shame and I'm covering it up with a lot of self-elevation. I'm puffing up with pride because I'm hiding the shame that's deep inside. If you've suffered from that, I want you to know Jesus allowed them to pierce his hands. Sin brings shame, but Jesus says, "I remember their sins no more." Hebrews 9:14, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences. What does Purell do for our hands? How much more does the blood of Jesus purify our hands and hearts? It purifies our consciousness from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. And finally, number four, it says that when Jesus died, the heavens shook the earth so much so that it rattled everyone there. The Roman centurions were used to watching people suffer on the cross for long hours, but Passover was the next day, and they had an order to make sure that we speed this thing up, especially because the heavens are opening. And so they went and crushed the legs of the other two criminals. Why? Because when they hung you on the cross, they would bend your knees before they drove the nail, so that when you were hanging, you would actually not be able to breathe. You'd be suffocating. So they went to the other criminals and they broke their legs so that they could no longer catch their breath, so that they suffocate, speed this process up. But when they got to Jesus, they noticed he was already dead. So they did not break his leg, which fulfilled prophecy in the Old Testament, but it also, they pierced him. He was pierced for our transgression. Just to make sure he's dead, let's pierce him towards the heart. Scripture records that when they pierced him, not just blood flowed out, but water flowed out as well. A medical expert would tell you that that means his heart had already burst. That flow of water is a symbol that his heart had already burst. How did Jesus die? Suffocation? No. He died of a broken heart. Many of you have suffered broken hearts, and some of you are currently living in a broken heart season, and some of you are going to have broken heart moments. Some of them can't be delivered from, but if you're suffering from a broken heart, you don't serve a Savior who can't identify. You serve a Savior who was crushed so that I can be given a heart of flesh. What does Scripture say? He takes out the heart of stone and he gives us a pliable, moldable heart. I shared in the first experience that we've had Dream Team family members. I'm calling our Dream Team people to serve with, like family. We had one last night just reach out to me. We had a Dream Team meeting in the morning. For some reason, the enemy attacks me a lot when I preach on certain sermon topics. And the enemy was at work yesterday afternoon, and Tanisha reached out to me, and she just said, "That was an amazing message, and you know what Aaron, my husband, would have said." Now, if you don't know Aaron, we lost him earlier this year, and Aaron was a fantastic friend who would always encourage me. She texted me something along the lines of, "Aaron would have been cheering you all the way, saying, you better preach that. You better preach that." And it touched me. My heart was grieving the rest of the night because I missed those encouraging texts from him. I miss his presence. I miss his smile. I didn't know whether to text her or not because I didn't want her to have a broken heart the rest of the night as well. She's so strong and bold, courageous, inspiring. I talked to her after the experience. She said, "You could text me anytime." But you know what? God, it says this in Psalms, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He was wounded so that you don't have to stay wounded. Some of you have been so hurt in the heart, rejected, done wrong by, slighted. You got fear, heaviness, anger, hurt, unforgiveness. Jesus didn't die a death of suffocation. He allowed his heart to be wounded as well so that your heart can be healed as well. He suffered these wounds not just so that you can get free, but Jesus paid for you to know him and completely get free. You've got to leave yesterday behind. He paid the price. You might as well eat the whole meal. Receive all of him in your mind, in your body, on where you've gone, where you've been, what you've done, and also in your heart. Get freedom through Jesus Christ and the blood. So real quick, I just want to stop and have you ask God, "God, what's holding me back?" Just ask the Holy Spirit that right now. What's holding me back? Whether you're stuck, slamming into dead ends, or second guessing, whatever God just shared with you that's holding you back, he paid the price for that too. He conquered it. It's done, and by the blood of Jesus, it is finished on the cross. God, I just pray for complete freedom over your people.